You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, we set aside a particular weekend to celebrate Easter. But Easter is every day, every week for us. Amen? We just heard in the communion this morning. And we're going to talk about the power of the resurrection of Jesus. The fact, for instance, that we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible clearly states that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Proof? Empty tomb. Three women, in fact, there were more than that, women that saw Jesus alive at the tomb. And then we see about that he was showed himself to Peter, then to the other apostles, and then to 500 at one time. And then he was seen by James, his brother, and finally by the apostle Paul himself. And this morning, I want to focus our attention on the resurrection of Jesus and how that impacted the church, the early church, and it's impacting the church today. The resurrection of Jesus was the most important subject that was preached in the New Testament, especially the book of Acts. About 30 times it was mentioned in the book of Acts, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, it was mentioned 18 times. The disciples focused more on his resurrection than his death because the power was in the resurrection. The Bible says in Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. With great power, by signs and wonders, by miracles, by souls being saved. And the apostle Paul, he strongly desired that he might know, him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. That was Paul's desire and passion. I want to know him intimately, but I also want to know the power of his resurrection in my life. The Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching, I might as well give up my preaching. It says our preaching is useless, our faith is useless. The apostles would be lying about God because they said that God raised Christ from the dead. Our hope and our hope in Christ is only for this life. Just imagine. You're a Christian just for the life that you live on this earth. After that, that's it. No more. No heaven, no eternity. But the fact that Christ rose from the dead means there's a future for you and I. And so the resurrection is more than just an event that happened once in history. It's a source of power you can experience in your life personally today. The same resurrection power that brought Jesus from death to life lives in you. And if you and I tap into it, we'll start to see amazing things happen in our lives for the glory of God. And so this morning, I want to share with you six powerful truths of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, Satan's head was crushed. Through the resurrection of Jesus, the death and the resurrection. That was prophesied in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman, referring to Jesus, shall crush or bruise his head, and you shall bruise his heel. How was Jesus' heel bruised? By the nails in his feet. But Satan's head was crushed. What does that mean? Satan's power and influence over you was broken. No longer does he have power over you. Satan was stripped of all power and authority. He has no power or authority over you unless you let him. In Romans 16:20, it says, "The God of peace shall bruise or crush Satan under your feet." Under your feet, shortly. Under your feet. Now, the word crush means breaking to pieces, breaking bones, as it were, crushing bones to pieces. God's peace will crush Satan's head. Then it said shortly. The word shortly gives a picture of a Roman army that have just conquered a nation or a city, and they're making their way back and they're marching. And you can hear for miles this marching. And if you're in that path of the Roman soldiers, they won't step over you, they'll step on you. They will crush you. And God is saying to us, the God of peace will crush Satan's head, march all over him for your sake and for my sake. That was the focus of that particular verse. The second thing, after the resurrection, Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the place where you exercise authority. You know, God really spoke to me about this, and I'd like two chairs to be brought here. God spoke to me about this, so that if you get hold of this, it'll change your prayer life, it'll change your perspective, it'll bring you to an understanding that you do have the authority and the power to come against the enemy. And I want someone that looks fatherly. Our brother Javier, can you just come up? Yeah, come here, my good friend. Okay, just quickly come up here. You sit here. My brother referred to as the Father. He's Father God. Now, I want you to see this. If you grasp hold of this, it'll change you. God has made us, you and I, to sit with Christ at the right hand of the Father. We are made to sit with him on the throne, the place of authority. Now, God showed me this. He said, we read about Moses speaking to God face to face. Do you know you have the same privilege to speak to God face to face? You are seated with Christ, in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you're looking at the Father face to face. You may not see his form or see his face, but you have the same privilege to speak to your Father about the situation, circumstances, whatever you may be facing. Secondly, what you're going through, you thought were giants. The things that you're battling, you think, well, they're giants. They're too big for me. It depends where you're looking it from. If you're looking it from heaven, what you thought were giants were simply grasshoppers. You're seeing it from God's perspective. Let me ask you a question. I know it's good to ask questions. If I was to ask you, how are you today? How are you really? Are you looking up or looking down? Put up your hand if you're looking up. Put up your hand if you're looking down. Depends what perspective. Where are you seated? I'm seated in heavenly places, seeing it from God's viewpoint. What was a wall that was insurmountable is simply a fence that I can just step over. It's seeing it from God's perspective. He has made you and I to sit with him, with Christ, the right hand of the Father. I have access to just talk to him as my Father. And I have the right of parousia to speak what's on my mind. Father, I'm struggling in this area. Father, I have difficulty in this. Father, I just want to tell you some good points. Tell him some praise points. Come on, let's tell him some praise. Father, I just want to thank you for what you did in my life. Thank you, Lord. I just spoke to someone about you the other day, and they responded to you. And so I speak to my Father. I share with Him what's on my heart, what's on my mind. You have the same privilege because He has made you to sit with Him. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering. The Bible says that Jesus is far above any rule or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. It doesn't matter what kind of principality or power it may be. The place that where Jesus is now is seated far above of all power, all authority. Because Satan now is under Jesus' feet, he is under your feet. You can shout it loud if you like. He's under your feet. He's under your feet. And so you're not fighting for a place of victory. You're fighting from. The victory's already yours. And here's the amazing thing. That we have been made to sit. We have been given the privilege of exercising our godly authority against the enemy. Because of the resurrection, you have the same authority as Jesus over the devil. You know, Satan is fearful of Christians that know their authority. Satan is frightened of people that know where they are seated and the authority that they can exercise against him. And that's why he tries to stop you from grasping hold of this word this morning. You see, when sickness tries to come, use your authority. Apply the blood of Jesus, the resurrection power. If a poverty mentality tries to come on your life, you know, this is my lot. I might as well accept the fact that I've got this for life. Then use your godly authority against the enemy in the name of Jesus. Use your authority. Apply the blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power. In 3 John verse 2, it says, I pray that you may prosper, listen to this, in all things. Prosper in your marriage. Prosper in your business. Prosper in your life. He's saying this to us, I wish above all things that you'll prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants your mind to prosper, your will to prosper, your decision-making to prosper, your emotions to prosper. He doesn't want our emotions to go like this. He wants our emotions to prosper. He wants our mind to prosper, our thinking pattern to prosper, so it lines up with His Word. He wants us to prosper. When he tries to bring a curse back into your life, he is trespassing. He's transgressing in your life. Trespassing, I should say. He's trespassing into your life. And you have the authority to tell him to leave. You know, I've had over the years, many years, I've had people come up to me and said, look, I believe there's a curse being put on my life. And I said, well, are you a born-again Christian? They would say, yes. Well, the curse had been broken at the cross. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. The only reason why a curse may have an effect on a person's, on a Christian's life is their ignorance of what the cross had done for them. The fact, you know, oh, I remember the 17th century, I went right through my history. And in the 17th century, my grand aunt, she was involved in tea leaf reading and seance and so on. And it's passed through the family line and it's come upon me. Hey, listen, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it stops at the cross. Apply the power of the cross. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Declare, Jesus, you have taken the curse for me. I don't need to carry this curse or be burdened by it or be influenced by it. Don't accept defeat in your life. Jesus paid too high a price for you to accept anything less than total and complete victory. Victory. You know, Satan's defeat was sealed by the resurrection. But you have to enforce it because he trespasses. He likes to go on God's property. You are God's property. When the enemy tried to trespass on our family many years ago, Glennis and I rose up, and when she rises up, I tell you what, and we took authority. It took us 3 weeks to bind that spirit of rebellion. And in the name of Jesus, it was broken because the enemy tried to trespass in our family, and we stopped. We had to enforce the victory. We already had the victory. We weren't fighting for victory. We fought from the place of victory and enforced the enemy to get off of God's property. Number three, because of Jesus' resurrection, his resurrection power is working. Church, it's working in you now. Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection, he said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Wait. I know you prayed for the sick. I know you cast out demons. I know you shared the word of the gospel of the kingdom, but I don't want you to do anything until you receive power, my ability, my efficiency, my might. Until you receive that, just wait. And they did. And the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 20, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus. Listen, believers, I want you to understand the power that raised Christ from the dead. I want you to understand it. I want you to comprehend it. I want you to grasp hold of it. This power, this mighty power, I want you to understand the greatness of this power. And this is the same power, this is the same prayer that he's praying for us today. But not only to understand the power, how to exercise that power. It's one thing to understand the power. It's another thing to know how to exercise that power in my life. The same power that set the captives free, that caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, is in you as it was in the disciples over 2,000 years ago. Didn't Jesus say, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Notice, signs follow, not you follow signs. Signs follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, that you'll speak with new tongues. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues, receive it this morning. Give us the opportunity to pray for you this morning so that you can receive this incredible gift from the Father. In my name, you will cast out demons, speak in new tongues, and so on. And that's what the disciples experienced in their lives. Remember, the only power that Satan has is the ability to deceive. That's the only power he has. And that's why it's so important, church, that you and I know where we're seated, know our authority, and know how to exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. You see, the word deceive means to make people believe that something is true when it's not. You know, that's what he did to Eve. Did God say? What happened? It put doubt in Eve's mind. Satan wants you to question the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the graciousness of God, the faithfulness of God. And the Bible calls him a deceiver, a liar, a father of lies, a tempter. And God wants you to know, church, greater is he that is in you. You know, church, I look at these scriptures and I'm saying, God, I need something to awaken in me, to make me realize that I'm a walking time bomb. There is an explosive power of force in me. It's called dynamite. And if you and I begin to recognize over this Easter period, as we focus on Easter, that you and I carry the mighty force of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that's resident in us, so that nothing is impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. Nothing is impossible. But how many of us have said this? I don't feel it. I don't. It's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of the truth. I've got to start to accept the truth. Focus my eye on the truth, not on the feelings. The feelings can be up and down. That's why God wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, your mind, will, and emotions. So our emotions won't be affected by the things around us. So let's be people who truly believe and know that Jesus has stripped Satan of all power and all authority. And number four, because of Jesus' resurrection, there is no room for fear in your life. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given to us. Look at it, church. Underline, not given. Not given. He has not given to you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a disciplined mind. Isn't that amazing? You ready to give the Lord a clap offering? Come on, let's do it. Power and love and a sound mind. You know, several years ago, someone contacted us, Glennis and I, and said, can you pray for this lady? She's about 26, I think she was. She's been in bed for 3 weeks, paralyzed with fear. Just totally fearful, paralyzed. She'd been like there for 3 weeks. So we went around her house and we ministered in the resurrection power of God. We took authority over that spirit of fear and loosed it from her and commanded her to go. Instantly, she got up. Instantly. Another time we went to see a lady that was blind in her right eye. When I said blind, it was something like a period of 3 weeks that she totally lost sight in her right eye. She just had a patch over it. So Glennis and I went to see this lady. And I saw what was behind the eye. You know, I hate to say it when they got kids here, but there was a demonic spirit behind the eye. And so we dealt with it, the spirit first. Then we released the healing power, and instantly she was able to see. Sue Welsh. The power. Church, oh, Pastor, that's you. That's good. Fantastic. Bless you, Pastor. Hey, no, it's you. It's you. You. There is no room for fear when you know the truth of the resurrection. Number five, the resurrection of Jesus gives you boldness. You know, one thing that lacks in the churches today amongst God's people is boldness. And yet he says he's given you. If you've got the power of the Holy Spirit resident in you, then you have that boldness. You see, something happened to the disciples. One minute they locked themselves in their room, in the room for fear of the Jews, it said. But after the resurrection, they became so bold. Instead of hiding, they began to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus' resurrection in the very city that Jesus was crucified in. You think they'd preach in another city or another town. But the very city where he was crucified, that's where they started to preach the gospel. Look at the boldness of Peter. A few weeks before, he denied the Lord three times. It's amazing, the transformation. It's amazing what the transformation can do in our lives if it can do it in Peter's life. And this has had to do with that crippled man that was raised to healing strength at the Gate Beautiful. Let me read to you from Acts 3, verse 12 to 16. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently on us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see." You know this guy. You've seen him week after week going to the temple. Then look at verse 19. Peter didn't say, "Look, can you say sorry? Please say sorry. Say sorry. Say sorry. Why don't you just apologize? Oh, I apologize." No, he said, "Repent." Can you see the boldness of Peter? He didn't say, "Oh, listen, I think you better repent. Can you just repent?" He said, "Repent. Change of mind. That leads a change of action and change of direction. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Amazing boldness. The Bible goes on to say that the religious people, they were upset. They were upset with Peter and John because the disciples taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were upset. They were upset because they're talking about the resurrection. And Peter and John, listen to this. Peter and John said, he said, "We can't stop telling about everything that we have seen. We can't stop." You know, I had this flash of thought go through my mind. God, raise up people who cannot stop talking. I know some of you are looking around. Let me finish the sentence. Let me finish the phrase. Who cannot stop talking about the things that we have seen and heard. There's testimonies already coming out of this church. Start testifying what you've seen and heard. Then it says the rulers, they recognize that they had been with Jesus. When you begin to operate in the resurrection power, people will recognize, hey, there's something about you. You've been with Jesus. There's something different about you. You've been with Jesus. You see, when the resurrection power of Jesus is working on us, they're going to recognize that. The resurrection made the difference. The fact is they knew Christ had risen. They saw him, talked with him, touched him, and ate with him. The resurrection made the difference. And number six, last point, because of Jesus' resurrection, you too will rise from the dead. You know, I don't particularly like doing funerals, But when I do, I love it when the person that has passed away knew Jesus, was born again. And we've had it numbers of times in this church. And you know they're not here anymore, but they are in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The resurrection gives you and I the assurance that there is a home in heaven, that He has prepared a place for us. Didn't Jesus say on the cross, to the thief on the cross, today, you don't go through soul sleep, you don't go through seasons before you get to heaven. The moment a person dies, their spirit leaves their body and they enter into heaven. And I believe the first person you and I want to see, apart from our loved ones, is the one that died for us, is the one that made it possible for us through His resurrection. In Romans 6:6, since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says, and God will raise up from the dead by His power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. The song we used to sing, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. You see, the resurrection is more. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Because He lives. You can sing it afterwards if you like. The resurrection is more than just an event that happened once in history. It's the source of power that you can experience in your own life every day. But to know the resurrection power in your life, you need to know Jesus personally. You need to respond to Him. I want you to bow your heads. Could you do that? Bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray a prayer. It's the most important prayer that I can ever pray this morning. It's a prayer of invitation, of inviting Jesus Christ into your life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ personally in your life, then this morning you can. You can. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And as we pray this prayer, I want you to pray it from your heart. God, I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life. We're all going to pray. The church is going to help you in prayer. Let's just do it together. Heavenly Father, thank You that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. That He took the punishment for my sin. I repent of my sins. I invite You into my heart. Cleanse me with Your precious blood. From this moment on, help me to live my life for You. In Your name I pray. Amen.